It's time for Legal Talk, and today we're taking another look at the consequences of what we post on social media. If you were following Twitter last week, you might have seen hashtag Santon trending for a couple of days after someone published a video of, employees engaged in some extracurricular office activities. Should we put it that way? I think you know what I'm talking about. The clip was viewed. It was shared thousands upon thousands of times. And at the time, nobody was named. Nobody's faces were shown in close up. But it wasn't long before the speculation started mounting online. Where was it in Santon? Whose office building was that? And then there was a name of a firm, and then there was a name of a person. And all of a sudden, what started out as a sort of an arm's distance, frivolous titillation became something that turned into something very different very quickly. And the company and the people who've been named and attached to that video are not laughing at all. They are, in fact, lawyering up, as are we today. I've got two lawyers with us in studio to talk about the consequences of what we post on social media, particularly when it comes to joining in online shaming. It's a great pleasure to welcome Trudy Brookman and Lauren Lewis of Trudy Brookman Attorneys to the studio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Pippa.
Thanks for having us, Pippa.
Interesting case, this, on multiple levels, but just in short, what's happened is that Fieldstone Private Capital, we were the company who were named as we think that's their offices, have come out saying, well, it's not us. We're in that building, but that's not our floor. It wasn't our company involved. And their MD, Zahid Sibda, who is a married father of two, who was the man who was named as supposedly being in that video, has come out quite understandably irate, saying, it's not me. I don't work on that floor. I wasn't there. I was at home with my family. And he is threatening to hunt down the person who first posted that video and sue them. Now, on what grounds would he be able to sue somebody? Would he have grounds to sue, Trudy?
Yes, certainly. It would be a defamation claim.
Okay.
So defamation is when your reputation is harmed. There are some defenses. Sometimes you're allowed to say defamatory things, in other words, to harm a person's reputation or decrease the respect for that person in the eyes of an objective, reasonable person. And defamation is required to be published, and that's the whole thing with online media, is that we're publishing so easily, aren't we? There are some defenses. You can sometimes defame a person if you can demonstrate that the statement or the implication that you made about the person was both true and in the public interest. It looks like that wasn't the case here.
Yeah.
You can also demonstrate that it was fair comment if it relates to something where you're commenting on another person's behavior or approach to something, or where it's made in a privileged setting. And one would want a bit of privilege if you're engaging in that sort of activity in an office. But actually, it only applies to members of parliament.
Okay.
Which maybe shouldn't happen. But anyway. So I would have thought that there are fertile grounds for a big damages claim there.
It'll be interesting to see what happens because, of course, Lauren, there's more to this than just the person who shot the video and posted it initially. It's been shared by thousands of people. Would they, too, potentially be liable if this goes to court?
Yes, they could potentially be liable also, especially if you are commenting and voicing your own opinion related to the video that was posted. Mm. So it's in your interest just to be very careful about what you share, what you comment on, and just how things are published in social media and, you know, how quickly it can sort of spiral out of control.
You mentioned that there's certain cases in which it is allowed. I mean, Trudy, if you think about it, it is potentially defamatory to walk into a police station and say, I want to accuse that person of doing that crime. You are causing other people to think less of them, but it's with a very good public interest excuse behind it. That would be an example.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think the lines get blurred, though, because we've got a lot of good examples in quite recent South African history where people piled on the online shaming of people who'd said stupid things and hurtful things. Penny Sparrow, Adam Katsavalis as well. Hmm. But where does the line lie there in a case like that? There's an argument to be made that they should be called out on having said something incredibly offensive and hurtful and stupid. But are you not becoming part of the problem if you do call them out publicly like that?
The issue with online shaming is that often the punishment doesn't fit the crime, as it were.
Okay.
So there's a slight or a perceived slight by the person who gets shamed, and then it escalates out of control. So I know the dentist who killed Cecil the Lion, mm-hmm. For example, received death threats, and there were notices up on the entrance of his dental practice. So I assume that there were major impacts on his work life.
Yeah.
Katsavelos spoke about death threats. He lost his job in the process. The family business was harmed. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't his family members had distanced themselves from those statements. So that's the problem. It goes viral and it's out of control. And the issue is that you end up with an online mob, which can destroy the reputation, career, conceivably even the life of the person.
Even if it did appear to be, as you say, it might start even if you are responding from a place of thinking that they do genuinely need to be called out on having said something, which the law does say is wrong. I mean, we have people here who've been themselves convicted of crimes. It's just worth pausing to make sure that you are not yourself engaging in a form of criminal behavior in the way you respond to it. You mentioned true and in the public interest. If you defame somebody in a way that's false, it's going to be very hard to defend yourself in court. But what about when what you've said is actually true? Are there cases in which somebody could be convicted of defamation for having said something that was true?
I suppose you could. It has to be both true and in the public interest. So we haven't really had much case law where that particular set of circumstances have come up. But if whatever you're saying isn't in the public interest, you're being mean, nasty, etc., and the public doesn't benefit from that at all, then in principle, even though it's true, you might be in trouble with defamation and have to pay damages. So that's the problem with being sued for damages, is that you may need to fork out. Trevor Manuel recently got $500,000.
That's right, from the EFF, yes, for defamation. Defamation is not the only kind of crime we have to worry about, though, as well. Lauren, can you talk to us a little bit about, I think the other one most people are at least partly familiar with is crimen injuria.
Yes. So crimen injuria is the act of unlawfully and intentionally and seriously impairing the dignity or privacy of another person. This would include stalking, threats of harm, publishing a person's private information without their consent, ridiculing someone's ethnicity, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And if a person is found guilty of crimen injuria, they have a criminal record.
Yeah. And that's got to be declared every time you apply for a job going forward.
Yes.
It can never be removed from your record. I mean, that's quite scary. That is the kind of crime that Penny Sparrow was actually convicted of. Is that correct?
Penny Sparrow and Peter Paul Nguyenia, they were convicted of crimen injuria. What's interesting about Peter Paul Nguyenia is that he raised the defense that as a black person, the use of the K word, it's not disrespectful between black people. And the magistrate said no.
Wasn't having any of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he was convicted.
Has he been sentenced yet, as a matter of interest? Do we know what the consequences have been of that finding?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, so we've reached the point of conviction, but not yet of sentencing. So
there's often months in between.
Okay. I think it's worth perhaps taking a step back and reflecting on the sort of rights and freedoms that go behind this conversation. Because, of course, we're talking about people's right to freedom of expression. And a lot of the time, when you caution people about the way they post and behave on social media, they go, well, it's my right to have an opinion and to voice my opinion. I have the right to freedom of speech. Can you maybe set the framework for us, particularly in the South African context, of where that right to freedom of speech sits with regard to how it impacts on other people's rights? Lauren, would you like to take that, or Trudy?
Yes. So we have freedom of expression, but that right always has to be balanced against the other rights we have in the Constitution, the right to dignity, to privacy, that sort of thing. And that's particularly relevant in the context of online shaming. So if you, with your freedom of expression, if you are limiting the rights, someone's dignity, someone's right to privacy, that limitation has to be justified. Mm-hmm. So it's yes, we have freedom of expression, but it's not this right that can trump any other right. We need to consider it in the context of the broader Bill of Rights and the other constitutional rights we already have.
And that's what's different with the US. And
I think speaking of trumping, let's go there. Because there is, I think, a lot of people get their sort of sense of the right to freedom of expression from a lot of what they've seen in the movies, and it's quite different in America, isn't it?
It really is. So in South Africa, we have a concept, hate speech, and that's illegal. You mustn't go there. In the US, hate speech isn't illegal, and the right to freedom of expression is a preferred right. In other words, it trumps the other rights. Another person's dignity isn't regarded as being as important in the US as it is here. So here we're looking at everything. So be careful. If you see an American letting rip on social media, you can't necessarily do that here in South Africa.
That's really interesting. Okay, so we've got a much then tighter limitation on those rights. I mean, all of our rights come with limitations on them. And you can't just claim the right to the freedom of expression without recognizing the responsibility and balance that goes with it, as it were. Obviously, we've got a very unique historical context, which is embedded behind that way of thinking, haven't we, Trudy?
Absolutely. So the Constitutional Court, some of the judgments read like poetry almost. This historical context, they say in South Africa, on account of our sad history, we need to be particularly careful to give people not just the right to freedom of expression, and that's absolutely key, and you even have a right to be controversial. You're allowed to express controversial ideas in South Africa. So let's not say we're against freedom of expression, certainly not. It's simply a question of balancing those against the right to dignity, the right to privacy, etc. And that's where, I suppose, sharenting comes in. Mm-hmm. That even a child has the right to privacy vis-a-vis their parents.
That's such a huge one. I think that's a conversation we're going to have to pick up on its own another day, because into how we share and what we share about our kids and what right they have to ask us not to do that, for example. But important to mention, the one thing just before we're out of time that I really think it's important to remind everybody about is the fact that, yes, posting without thinking and joining in the mob mentality on social media can lead to potential prosecution for criminaluria or defamation. It can also get you into very hot water at work. And Lauren, yes, I think it's important to remind this, that companies are within their rights to take action against their employees from a disciplinary perspective if they join in this kind of thing.
Yes, you know, a lot of companies would presumably have a policy regarding your online activity. And anything that you do that brings your employer into disrepute could result in a disciplinary hearing, could result in your dismissal. So online shaming can really have these vast ramifications, from criminal charges to losing your job. You know, it can really disrupt your whole life from one small action of commenting on someone else's post, or even being the initial poster, I suppose,
yeah,
if you can call
or
it.
Or sharing and tweeting, yes, as you step onto the plane or whatever it is. Okay, so the final question then, I mean, we don't, as you said, Trudy, we're not saying don't be controversial, don't have strong opinions, don't disagree with anyone in public. We don't want to create a boring, neutral, non-confrontational conversation at all costs. But what's the advice to those before you post? Just any sort of tips on what sort of boxes to check before you hit send?
It's probably a bit of an old-fashioned thing to say, but humility is your best friend. Doubt yourself. Check your facts. Make sure that you know what you're posting about. Understand the context. Think about the thing from the perspective of the person who might be slighted by what you're writing, and maybe you have a different approach to how you phrase a thing, for example. Mm-hmm. If you're wanting to put something which is potentially slanderous or defamatory out there, make sure that you have clear and incontestable evidence, preferably written or a photograph or something like that. And remember, a photograph looks a bit different from this angle and that. Check your facts very carefully before you get yourself in trouble. And in particular, in South Africa, our key focus is, it's just where we're at in this country, gender, sex, ethnicity, language, age, religion, race, sexual orientation. All of those things are sensitive topics for us. If you want to go there, be careful.
Tread with caution and think before you post, okay? You have been warned. And also, if you're trying to work out what flaw that is in the Santon video, make sure you're counting right, or you could find yourself on the receiving end of a visit of the lawyers from Fieldstone Private Capital. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Trudy Brookman and Lauren Lewis of Trudy Brookman Attorneys. Really appreciate your input today and the reminders on engaging with a little bit more caution going forward, hopefully. Great to have you with us.